them is five senses and a heart. Sentiment. All right. So we're going to put his name up here. But we don't want to lose him. Adam. A-D-A-M. Adam. Damn you, man. Ain't nothing happened accidentally. Not in this language. No, indeed. Satan don't allow no accidents in his plan. What does the word A stand for? No, I mean in the grammar. No, not. Not, right? Not. If you say I something, it means not that. Typical, atypical. Right? Atypical means not typical. Am I correct? Yeah, a lot of words like that. The A means not. So add down, not down. But they say he was down. They told us he was down. But to their wives, they say Adam, not down. They don't be disturbed. We're not talking to you. We're talking to these mass of tools, grass, and dirt and mud that we're going to use to build our world. Adam, not down. You see? All right. Now, and again, Adam is damned. God didn't damn him. But who damned him? Satan damned him. Not the Adam that they have. They're keeping their Adam. Their Adam is still alive. But your Adam has been damned, destroyed. You understand? All right. So the Adam means the five senses and the sentiment. The five senses in the Western world have been brushed under the rug. The Western world don't teach the masses to use or don't treat them in such a way that they encourage to use the five senses. When you go to school, to high school, a college, they teach you that the five senses should be used in material fields. Don't apply it to humanities. Don't apply it to human sciences. It's just for the physical sciences. Is that right? When the very purpose of religion is to show us that the five senses is the basis of human science, our human development. Five senses is the basis. It's the base on which we establish society. The five senses. It represents the birth of human society, the five senses. And they have taken it out of the human life and put it into the non-human life, the physical life. Is that right? All right. Okay, let me show you something. As we go, we want to give your mind some proof of these things. If I say he gave him a backhand lick, and we're talking about professional fighting, in the ring, boxing. He hit him with an illegal blow. Is that right? He hit him with an illegal blow. Now, if I tell you to stir something up, I give you a pot of something. I say, stir this up for me. And you start stirring this way. It tells me you've been trained to stir that way. Because that's against your own self. To go backwards like that is against your own self. The comfortable way to stir is this way. Just try it. Try moving your hand this way. See how that goes? Now push it back the other way. You see? Now if you've been trained to do this way, your muscles have been made accustomed. They have been made adopted. They've grown strong to do this. So try your other hand now. If you're left-handed, try your right hand now. If you're right-handed, try the left hand. And do this. This way. Now turn it back the other way. Turn it back. Which way is easier? going back or going the way I'm, where I said? Which way is easier for you with the hand you haven't been trained, that you haven't trained? The hand that you haven't trained goes easier this way, doesn't it? And it's hard this way, isn't it? Awkward, isn't it? Kind of awkward, isn't it? That's natural. That's nature. But see, you've been trained in this world to stare this way. And the average person, you tell them to stir this up for me, he'll go this way. When nature had designed him to stir this way, this is easier. Just keep listening. How does the Gentile write? The Gentile writes this way, from left to right. That's going against the nature. Take your hand and push it out. Everybody, just take your hand and push it out the way you write in English. Now, draw your hand this way in, the way we write in Arabic. Can't you feel it flowing right in easy? There's less strain on you when you write from right to left. Now, let's look at the moral. The moral of this, or the moral of application of this, or interpretation, pardon me. If I start right and go left, I bring strength to weakness. But if I start left and go right, I take weakness into strength. Do you think these people came up with this way of writing by accident? No, indeed. Satan gave the Gentile even his writing habits. That's right. So when did this come about? In the beginning. That's what the Bible says. In the beginning. In the beginning of this world order that you see now. Okay? All right, let's look now back at this. If his writing goes like this, and the Jew and the Semitic people write this way, then that should tell us something. He's going against the drink grain, going against the flow. You see, going against the flow. All right. Now, in this name, we find Adam, we find what? Five senses. Five senses. Now, the five senses and the sentiments of the person give them the embodiment for willpower. Willpower operates from five senses and sentiments. After we get to develop intelligence, then intelligence influences willpower. But for the first step development, the willpower depends on five senses and sentiments. If we feel physically or sense physically a thing, then the willpower has to deal with it to tell us what to do in this particular situation. Should we stay here or should we leave here? Should we deal with it? Right? Five senses tell us these things. But the five senses are operating with the sentiments too, right? Sentiments come into play. Five senses may win the argument sometimes. Sometimes five senses lose the argument. Senses win the argument, right? Okay. What do we have here? We have here in the human being, right in his early development, man and woman. Is that right? Man is his five senses. Woman is his sentiment. All right? So here we have man and woman operating in ourselves. Five senses say such and such. But the sentiment, the woman in us come up and maybe say no. Do this. Right? All right. So here we have these two forces operating in us, the forces of five senses, and the forces of sentiment. Now, Adam represents them both. Where is the proof of that in Scripture? Adam was taken out of Eve, was taken out of Adam. Which tells us that Eve was in Adam before she was made. Is that right? And where did Eve come from? A rib of the man. And where is the rib? Close to the heart. And what does the heart represent? The sentiment. You see? So it's very clear. So now we have Adam representing both the five senses and the sentiment. Here is an Eve now who gets weak to the man, and she calls his downfall. Who is Eve? Sentiment. Sentiment. When the crooked, deceitful world wants to trip us up, they don't come in through our five senses. They come in through our sentiment. Is that right? And the most loaded religion with sentiments on the face of this earth or ever in the history of man is the Trinitarian doctrine. It's loaded with sentiments. Shows you a savior with blood running out his head. Blood running out his chest. Blood running out his feet. Blood running out his hands. And he's skinny. He hasn't had a meal in a long time. He's skinny. And his face looks so innocent and so sad. Appealing to your sentiments. Oh, we got the goods on Satan. As the book says, the cover, there'll come a time when the cover that he hides on will be too short. Say, if he try to cover his head, his feet will show. If he try to cover his feet, his head will show. Well, that time is here. In fact, somebody done put some acid on his covering. It ain't even around. Now, let's go back here now. The two people in the womb. Jacob, and Esau. Let's see who does Jacob stand for. The Bible says that Jacob came out smooth all over. What does it mean? What is this hint? This is a hint to their circle, to their secret circle, telling them that Jacob was a clever man, a cunning man. But right now, they haven't let this word get out of circulation. Why? They have made a purpose of keeping certain words in existence. Why? So that when the time comes for them to inherit the whole world, they're going to produce a miracle that will make the whole world accept it. This was their plan. But God said, he planned, and I planned, and I am the best of planners. Yes. So their plan was to wait until they got the world in their hands. Then broke their power, got their mind, and then at that time they will produce a Christ for the world. They will produce, they thought they would, a Christ for the world. And they will bring him out, and they would have given him, loaded him up with all this knowledge I'm giving you. And he will come out and tell it. And will tell them that the Jew is a chosen people, as God hath told you. Now come back to the Jew and let the Jew lead the world, because the Jew is God's chosen people. That was a plan. And when that one come out with all the information that I'm giving you, he would convince the world that he's the one. See, the only time a man that have evidence is rejected, evidence that is attested to by the majority. The only time such man is rejected is when he gets no support from the authorities. The weak people won't accept even reality, fact, proven fact, unless authority backs it up. Why? Because they are trained not to trust even their own intelligence until the authorities say this is okay. I can say this is chalk. It's made of, what is the chalk made of? Limestone. Isn't it limestone, is it? Yes, made of limestone. And if you had never heard this was chalk, a limestone made of limestone, I could go and get the piece of limestone and let you examine it till you taste the limestone. Say, now taste the chalk. I take the limestone and write on the blackboard. I say, take the chalk. I say, aren't they both the same? If you heard me saying the same thing before authorities, and they hadn't said it was the same, you would fear to say it's the same. Though knowing, your intelligence tells you, yes, it is the same. But you have not heard, you've heard me saying the same thing to the authorities or within their hearing. And you hadn't heard them say, yes, they're the same, so you would not say they're the same. You are trained to reject your own intelligence if the authorities haven't given you approval or given you permission to make such judgment. Now, isn't that slavery? That's mental slavery, worse than physical slavery. All right, now let's go back here. So Jacob now tricks his brother up in the womb and comes out first. He shouldn't have come out first. Esau should have come out first. What does Esau represent? You should be able to guess. I've told you political power. What does he represent in this description I've given you of Adam? In the man, this one represents intelligence. What should I put here? Yes. Five senses and sentiments. Right here, we should put the five senses. I'll just put five to save time. And sentiments. Sentiments. That's who Esau represents. All right? Esau came out hairy all over. Hairy all over. What does hair represent? Knowledge and power. Aren't the senses knowledge? They're the first doors to knowledge. They invite knowledge in before the intelligence invite knowledge in. Is that right? The five senses are the first doors of knowledge. All right. So, and these senses are all over, aren't they? That's what it means. Says he was hairy all over. Hair stands for power, too. But not physical power. It stands for knowledge power. Where did they get this kind of language from? They studied the human body. And they find that on the head there's hair. And there's knowledge there. The human being has more hair on his head than on any other part. And there's more knowledge there than on any other part, right? Normally. All right, so here is a power. There's a power there. This is the ruling power, right? This is the ruling power. But the human being also has hair on his hand sometimes. In fact, even though they hardly have no hair visible on their body, you will find a little hair on the hands, right? What it represents, power. See it? and on the feet. They support you. Power. Usually on the legs, right? They power. Okay? And on the stomach. Sometimes on the stomach. On the chest, right? On the chest, the power of the man. Now, the biceps are very powerful, but we don't see no hair there. Ain't no hair on the biceps. But in the armpit, in the pit, there's a bunch of hair, right? Showing the power. So at all places, look, the mouth. It's power. It's a power point. The power of expression. We can holler sometimes and defeat our opponent. Is that right? I've seen a lot of men use it. In fact, Kyle has used it a lot. I'll kill you, nigga! So I'll kill you, son of a son, come here! And just the voice. Take the strength, take the courage out of the opponent. Is that right? So it's a power point. And look, the hair. The hair around it. Right? Okay, the eyes are very precious. Again, a power point. The hair around, the hair there. The nose are very valuable. They represent power. Power. Lung power. Lung power. When we run, where do we feel the weakness? Here. The lungs, but the nose is there. We need the air in that and through there, okay? There's a hair there. The ear is very valuable. It's a power place. It receives messages. We need it there. Hair in the ear. So they found that at all the vital points on the man, there was hair. And the most precious of all points, being the head, had the most hair. So they used hair to symbolize power. But the power of knowledge. The power of knowledge. And you will read in the Bible of Samson that Delilah found his secret. And she cut the 7 locks from his head. She shaved his head. And rendered him a helpless weakling. Is that right? Yes. So that's what it stands for. Okay, so this Esau came out hairy all over. What does it tell us about Esau? It tells us that he had knowledge all over himself, which meant that his knowledge was his 5 senses. His knowledge was his 5 senses. All right? The hair, the head was no different than the rest of the body when it came to hair. He was hairy all over. Didn't even say except the sole of his feet. It didn't say except the sole of his feet and except the palms of his hands. It didn't say that. It said all over. You understand? So tell us, it's talking about the 5 senses. The sense of feel is all over the body. The sense of feeling is all over the body. Taste and hearing and these other things are limited to certain areas, but feeling is all over the body. All right? So we're nailing him down. Step by step. He falls under the 5 senses. But is he Adam? No. He's Esau. His 5 senses is more filling than anything else. His knowledge is more filling than anything else. All right, so let's put this down here under Esau. Filling. F-E-E-I-N-G, right? Filling. That's Esau. Say, but you said Esau represents great political power. Yes, that's what I said. Edom is Esau. Edomites is Esau. What is the power of the great powerful nations? What power do they use? They don't use knowledge. You think they use knowledge. If they use knowledge, the society would be knowledgeable. The society will respond to knowledge. They do not use knowledge. They use feeling. The Cold War, what is it? It's a war of propaganda appealing to the feelings of a society that has been reduced to nothing but feelings. against me. They don't deal with the intelligent questions. They turn your feelings against me. This is Edom. This is Edom. This is the twin brother of Jacob. But Jacob have taken his birthright. Time is running. But time is running out. But look, I want you to understand this. Here are two twins. In the natural development of the human being, the person, intelligence should come behind feelings. It should develop after feelings, right? But this particular one, he comes in and takes the world before this one can even come out in it. So when the feelings come out into the world, the world it comes out into belongs to Jacob. Jacob have ordered the world to control and direct Esau. Human feelings. All right? So this is a plot. This is the key language holding a plot against human feelings. Turn human feelings against human development and rule human beings. So let human feelings have the government, the powers, and the intelligence stay ahead of him. Jacob got ahead and he stayed ahead of Esau. Is that right? Let us trick the masses and stay ahead of them. That's all it means. Esau represents the masses. The government rules the masses. But the rule that they have is a rule that's designed to keep the masses turned against their own development. Fools. Keep them blind, deaf, and dumb. So the rule of powers is the rule of human sentiments and feelings. The biggest event in this whole scheme was the invention of Jesus Christ on the cross. Designed to appeal to the sentiments of the people. And what big nation was given that image? Europe. The nations of Europe and America. Is that right? So where is Edom? Where is Esau? Edom is the Europe. Edom is America. Esau is Europe and America. And who have robbed Europe and America of the birthright? Jacob. Who tripped Europe and America up before they could even be born? Jacob. Who have plotted against their human development and made it impossible for the American people and the European people to come into that blessing that God intended for all human beings? Jacob! You are looking for Edom in ancient history. Edom of ancient time is just put there as a symbol of a powerful people. Edom wasn't a wise power. Edom was defeated. Edom's power, study the history of Edom. Edom's strength was in its physical power and in its daring, fighting, aggressive men. Is that right? Edom had war, great warriors, physical warriors. And it had great wealth, great material wealth, and great physical power. Edom wasn't known for any intellectual giants. None of its leaders contended with the prophets of Israel, the prophets of the Jacobites. So Edom here represents the fallen Adam. Adam is the five senses and the human sentiment. But this Jacob plan had reduced Adam by that time to Esau. Four senses. senses are gone. One dominates his life. Smelling, seeing, hearing, tasting, those senses have been almost nullified. And feeling is dominating his whole being. Hair all over him. You understand? All right. Where do we find the verification for this? The Bible says four rivers went out from the garden. Is that right? Four rivers went out from the garden. So what was left in the garden? One. What was the one? Esau. Filling. A plot against the kingdom of God. A plot against the heavenly life that God ordered for human beings. Separated the human being from all of his senses and left him dominated by feeling. And then they plan the world to appeal to your feeling, to influence and direct your feeling. And I repeat, the most powerful influence that they have created, Jesus, so-called Jesus, crucified on the cross. Now let us go on. Says, and Jacob tripped him up in the womb, came out first, stole his brother's birthright, and then stole his blessing. But look what Jacob did. Let's follow him on through. He went out, his mother hipped him to the scheme. He was a child under his mother, and his mother gave him the scheme. Who was his mother? His mother is a society. And what is a society? A society of secret government. Hidden, invisible government. Plotting against man. Plotting against mind. Against human nature. Against the five senses and the heart of the person. Plotting against it. Hitting the human being in its vital spots. You think you know about war. The war we know about is nothing. It's steady. People fighting each other with guns, tanks, and airplanes. That's no war. The real war is the battle, the invisible battle, that Satan wages against humanity. Human beings with a diabolic mind and a diabolic plan sit back and study the mind and the heart of nations and civilizations and search them to see what is their most vulnerable areas. Not the land. They don't want to know what gate of the country is the best one to go in through or what hill should we attack them from in the country. They want to know what is the nature of those people's minds and their hearts. What are their fleshly weaknesses? What are their spiritual weaknesses? What in them is vulnerable to our attack? And they study. What in them is vulnerable to our attack? And they study them and they say, let's feed their lust. They are weak for lustful things. Another one, they say, they are people who are arrogant in the possession of knowledge. Let's go and fire up their arrogance and defeat them. Satan is one who use the power of extremes to defeat his enemy. He looks for extremities in you. If you're extremely spiritual, he comes into that. He says their weakness is their spirituality. So let's go and get them through spiritual influences. If you're given extremely to physical things, they say their weakness is materialism. Let's get them through materialism. This is simple, but it's the wisest of all methods. It's simple, but I repeat, the wisest of all methods. when it comes to plotting the destruction of a people. No other method is as successful as this method. And do you think it's just a coincidence that the hard war, the hot war of hard materials have come down now to a cold war? The war of hardware is over. We are living in the age of word war, the cold war, the war of propaganda. Is that right? Where one nation defeats the other with words. What has brought the world to this state, wherein hardware has become obsolete, and the real weapons of war is the word, language, propaganda, ideology. Is that right? What has brought the world to this? Jacobite plan. Once he can get the world to take the form of Esau and become a sensitive body of feeling with four senses crippled or destroyed, and intelligence just used with the hand of feeling. See, we can pick up intelligence with the hand of feeling. Don't you know that? The Western world, when they pick up intelligence, what picks it up? The hand of feeling. And they apply intelligence according to feeling. Isn't that how the Western world trains? And this is what keeps them in trouble. The woman in the house raising her children, is she intelligent anymore? The average woman raising her children today is stupid. Stupid as a mother. In fact, she's worse than stupid as a mother. The average woman in these big cities of the Western society is crazy. I mean, I don't mean psychotic, or I don't mean chemically crazy. I mean emotionally crazy. But isn't that a fact? If you don't believe it, go in the houses, go in these homes, and see how these women are relating to their children and raising them. And if you do some sensible thinking for a little while, you'll say, Chief, you described it very accurately. They are crazy. It's because we have been separated from four of our important senses and put under feeling, and feeling is what you have made, what you're told to trust. The commercial, the soap opera, the magazine, the newspapers, the radio, everything is designed to make us give our intelligence to the power of feeling. Buy this, why? Because it feels good. Buy this, why? Because it'll make her feel good. Buy this, why? Because it looks good. That's appealing to feeling. Looks good? So you're going to make me take it because it looks good. That means the good look is offering me what? Pleasure. Is that right? And pleasure is a feeling. Does it work good? Does it produce money for me? Does it protect my income? No, they don't ask those kinds. Commercialism, avoid those questions. Commercialism appealed to feeling. This is the nature of the society, the new world that they have made. Esau. So Esau have been reduced to savage, primitive nature. Is that right? He has been reduced to savage, primitive nature. He's below Adam. Adam is a step in the building of civilized society. Esau represents something beneath that. The savage, primitive nature of man going backwards. Yeah. You go among wild, savage people and you find them influenced by feeling. They look at you, and if you look all right, they might let you approach. But if you don't look all right, they stay back and might shoot you if you approach, or stab you or something, right? They get close to you, they smell you, just like dogs. If you don't smell right, they'll back off. They have been reduced to the level of very primitive uses of their senses. They can't use their senses on any higher level of development. They can use them just as a dog or something. Smell you? I've been among them. I've been among some backward people. And they actually smell you. I'm not joking. My brother's laughing over there because he's been around the world. More than me, he traveled more than me. He knows they actually smell you. And when you catch them, they'll try to hide. If he smell you. Yeah. And some will feel you. You know, if you're a little bit more trustworthy, you know, if they think that it's not too dangerous, then they won't feel you. And you wonder, what's wrong with these people feeling on me? They'll feel your hair, they'll feel your skin. So Allah has made everything as a sign to the human being, to the intelligent brain. His Khalifa that he wants to rule the world, he has given everything else as a sign to aid his intelligence. When we see these inferior creatures to us behaving, don't stop there. God is pointing you to something within your human being, within your own society. That dog, he is somewhere in your human world. That's right. Yeah. You see a dog, the way he behaves, wagging his tail, getting on. When he loves you, he just shakes his tail. Can't you find that dog in your society? When she loves you, she says, oh, yeah, baby. Go on, baby. What was that man to see? One of our singers, he brought our song. Shake that thing, baby, shake that thing. Yeah. Shake that thing. Just shake it, wag the tail. Then you find the dog and other animals come up and sniff. And then back off. And you find people doing the same thing. Have to deal with inside in creating these things on the outside. Some people, they don't, wise men, they're baffled. They say nature is cruel. God is cruel. They reject God. Then they give themselves, they say nature is cruel. No, nothing is cruel. God is wise. And God has created all these things without to show us what is within. And in showing us, He educates us as to how to overcome these inferiorities. He gives us the knowledge we need to overcome, to rise above these inferior things. Now, if God has made the human being the top of his creation, the wisest, the most intelligent, the freest, the most capable, then shouldn't the head speak for the body? And not the hand or the feet or the tail. The head should speak for the body, right? The most precious part of the body should speak for the whole, shouldn't it? A human being, looking at him physically, looks just like an ape or something. But it's because there's a special brain here and a special heart here that puts him in a separate class. Is that right? He's put in a separate class because of his special brain and his special heart. Now, shouldn't we judge the world like we judge the human body? The excellence of bodies is in the brain and the heart. Is that right? And the most excellent brain and heart we can find is that of the human being. I look at the human being and I say, don't treat him that way. That's a person. Is that right? That's a person. Where is the burning in his heart. I put all of this together now in the total creation, in the total picture of creation. And I look at creation and I say, this was a bad plan. Look how these fish, eat the other fish. These big fish eat the small fish. Look how these wild creatures are killing these little nice creatures. I put it all in the big picture. Then I look at one of these creatures in the big picture, and he has been given a conscience and a heart. He doesn't have to kill the weak unless it's justly deserved. Is that right? He doesn't have to do the deplorable and hateful things that I see in other activities. And he has been made the boss. He is the chief. He is the head. I look at my toe and I say, look at that dumb toe. Right? But that toe is not a dumb toe, is it? How come it's not a dumb toe? Because it is in the body of an intelligent being. Right? But look how dumb it is for me. It never goes in place unless I let it. If I work it 20 hours, it works. If I stand on these feet until they burn up and blister, if I walk on fire with them, they don't do nothing but just let me know they're hot. But if I want to burn them up, they accept to be burned up. Is that right? So isn't this a dumb body? Following this intelligent head? But I don't think of it as being dumb. They put a foot up in a book. Cost $13. Why is that foot so precious? Human foot. Talk about man's hand in a book. 700 pages. Sell it for $20. How come? It belongs to the human being. God says that the whole world belongs to you. That he made the skies and the earth to render service to man. And that the man is the keeper over all the other creatures. Is that right? All right. So should I complain to God? No. And if, law in science goes like this, says the whole is equal to the total, sum total of all of its parts. The whole is equal to the sum total of all of its parts. So if we're talking about the whole creation, how can we condemn the whole creation without seeing human beings in the total picture? Is that right? All right. So if I get the total picture of the hope of the creation and see the human being's evolution in the total picture, see his role and his evolution in the total picture, then I see a creation that has evolved a great thing. If any part of it is inferior, I can't judge the whole by the inferior part. According to this law of science, the whole is equal to the sum total of all of its parts. Is that right? So to judge the whole, I have to recognize man's ascension or his evolution, his high rise in the whole picture. When a man is taking dung and putting it on his plant, look what he's doing. He's putting an offensive thing on the young plant, the seedling. Is that right? Suppose he would say, oh, I don't want none of these cabbage when they grow up. That inferior thing has been put into a nourishing thing, a needed thing. Is that right? The objectionable thing has been fed into a needed thing. And that inferior thing that we rejected has now given more development to the thing that we want. Is that right? Now, if any inferior creature, the dog, the rat, the snake, the cancerous germ, is any inferior, objectionable, offensive thing in creation. Serves to advance the development of that that is desired, the whole thing should be accepted. And we should not say this is a mad plan. This is the wisest plan. The reason why it's mad is because our knowledge is so small compared with the knowledge of Almighty God. We are so small that we can't see the big picture. We can't see the big picture. All of these small, inferior things, they feed the growth of human intelligence. And they also feed the development of the human heart. His heart goes out and sympathy to those things that are suffering, to those things that are made less equipped than he to deal with the forces of the environment. His heart goes out and sympathy to them. So he will take some of them and examine them and see how can he better equip them. Is that right? Oh, life is beautiful. I don't see how these wise men look at life and look at the force of nature and look at the confusion, the chaos, and the fighting and the killing, and it's interpreted as being a mad plan. They can't see the total picture. No, it's the greatest thing anybody, in fact, it's divine in every sense. Divine in every sense. And what suffering? Tell me, what suffering? Do those things know? No suffering. The human being is the most pitied, or should be, the most pitied creature on the face of the earth. The dogs and the cats, they come here and they happy. They jump off to a fast start and they keep going. And they don't have no major wars. I've never seen a major animal war. They war on small scale. And hardly ever species against species itself. Hardly ever would a species kill itself. They fight, but how many dogs you catch laying in the street? Say, good God, the dog's been fighting last night. You wake up, ain't no dog dead. You find one, you know a car hit him. Or a man killed him. Right? Only a live tiger or something like that might kill him. And that's not hardly likely, you see? So we know all the pitiful creatures. You're the pitiful creature. Worse off than all of them. Unless you come to Allah. Let me remove this. See, can we hurry and get out of here? Just want to give you some of the hints that's covered up in the scripture, Bible, so you can see what's going on. Out of the garden and became heads. These heads mean they became ruling influences. Ruling influences. But they are not in the government. They are not in Edom. They are in the human being coming from the physical environment. We have culture influencing human life in all of its branches. We have materialism influencing human life in all of its branches. We have knowledge, the search for knowledge, the love for knowledge, influencing human beings. And we have vanity influencing human beings. Selfishness, wanting to be the prettiest, wanting to be the wisest, wanting to be the most loved, vanity influencing a human being. We have these four influences with all of their other branches dominating life. They have, each of them also have three branches, three major parts. And these four with their three major parts represents the 12 ruling influences over human life. They copied it from the zodiac. the stars that rule the light. It means influences that are dominating human life. There are 12. We have thought that these 12 represent 12 people, 12 men. No, ain't no 12 men. And I read books by scholars, and they're preaching down that there are 12 men who represent the leadership in some secret religious order. Nothing like that exists. If it does exist, they're just working some crazy stuff. They're out of it. The 12 leaders that rule the world are the 12 major influences, influencing human life. And they branch off from the four we're talking about. The Bible says of Joseph that he had a dream. He was one of the 12 brothers, right? He had 11 brothers. He was one of 12. And Joseph was the youngest of all the brothers, right? He was the youngest of all the brothers. And he had a dream that he became the ruler over his brothers. And also he said that he saw in his dream or his vision the sun and the moon bowing to him. Is that right? This is Joseph. Okay, let's take a look at this. Joseph is one of 12, right? One of 12. So there are 11 men that he saw bowing to him, right? Joseph is the youngest. And he also saw the sun and the moon bowing down to him, right? So add now two more to 11. What does it give you? 13. Plus 2 equals 13. This world tells us that 13 is an unlucky number. Is that right? Why is 13 an unlucky number for this world? Because it represents the end, the destruction of Jacob's faith. When this one gets 11 to accept his leadership, not person influence. When this one gets 11 to accept his leadership and the sun and the moon to submit to him or to bow down to him, the Holy Quran says Allah has made the subject have rendered as service to you the sun and the moon. That's the Holy Quran. Okay, what does it mean then? What is the sun in this context? The sun is rational knowledge. Rational knowledge. Rational intelligence. The moon represents interpretation. Interpretation. All right? Rational knowledge needs interpretation. Even in the field of science, rational knowledge needs interpretation to be rightly applied. Okay? So the interpretation of that knowledge represents the moon. Why? Because the sun reflects, the moon reflects the sunlight. The sunlight strikes the moon at nighttime. Now we're in the dark. We can't get the direct knowledge from the rational source. We need to get it by interpretation. The moon reflects it, and it's that reflection, or that symbol there as a reflecting body, represents interpretation. Also represents prophecy, which is interpretation. You understand? Okay, so the sun represents rational knowledge, and the moon represents interpretation. All of this submitted to Joseph. Now remember, Joseph, in the book, he is featured as an interpreter of dreams. He is the great interpreter, and that's what brings him into power, his ability to interpret. Is that right? We can't give you the whole story. It takes too long. But the whole story is very beautiful. In a future time, we should go over it. All right, so Joseph now, his power is interpretation. His brothers resisted him. His brothers were jealous of him and hated him. he represents? Honesty. Truthfulness. Honesty. Truthfulness. Devotion to God. Righteousness. That's what he represents. He represents the